Game Digest.
All right. Hi, everybody. It is a beautiful May 2nd. It's a Saturday night. We're getting really stoked on some caffeine, and we're glad to see you. We're happy to be sponsored by all the people that did not leave any messages. We wanted to leave messages, guy. But TG is here today as my co-host, always, the Lord of all bearded men. You are the Lord, okay? How are you doing today, TG?
I'm doing pretty good. Me and my beard are doing pretty good. I fed it some bread earlier, and now it's just sitting on my face all nice and purring, and hopefully it shouldn't be growling anytime during the show.
We were playing WoW the other day, and I heard some popcorn in your beard.
Yeah, my beard tried stealing my popcorn, but that's a different subject entirely.
We're going to move on to what we're going to summarize the show here, and we're going to do a preview of Prototype right away off the bat of the show, and this is a new game coming out. It looks really, really neat. We're excited to talk about it because
we're actually excited
to get the game. I'm looking forward to it.
Releasing very soon also, so it's kind of convenient. For those of you who haven't heard of it, we're just going
to
give you a little sneak preview here, and we recommend probably getting it.
We're going to spew on you how much we like it, and if you don't want to be spewed on, that's just too bad, because we're going to do that. Then we're going to have TG's Tech of the Week, and what is it called, TG? Give me it.
It's this really freaky-looking device called the Pedicidate, and don't worry, when I get to my segment, I will explain exactly what this evil piece of machinery is.
It is evil. Pedophile sedate. I'm just saying, pedicidate, pedophile sedate. They're awfully close to each other. Okay, and then we're going to go on to Fiddle's Fave, which is my segment, of course, and I'm going to talk about one of my favorite games that I played on the PlayStation 2, and it was TG's too. It was a really good game. It was called Prince of Persia: Warrior Within. It was not announced very much. It didn't have very much advertising. You saw a few commercials for it, but not near as much as the first Prince of Persia did, or the Two Thrones, which is actually the third one.
And so that might have been partially due to just kind
of the graphic content, would you say? Because it was rated mature.
It was rated mature, unlike the first one, but it was also kind of they changed the mood. We can get into that later when we actually get into the segment. So, and then last, we have a review of Velvet Assassin, which actually just came out this last Thursday. So that should be interesting.
We've seen it played, folks. We've seen it played.
We've played it.
We have played it. And it was neat. Let me tell you what. My jazz hands are going tonight. Can't tell you how. They're jazzy. All right. And that's summarizing what we're doing for the show tonight.
But before we get into our preview, we got some gaming news updates here for you. Take it away, Colton.
News updates. We're starting off with Red Faction Guerrilla Warfare Demo. If you have an Xbox 360, would you please go to your marketplace for your games and download the demo? It takes 30 minutes, and it's God on Earth. Let me tell you what.
And it's free.
Which
is a benefit for poor people like us.
Because we can't afford a PlayStation 3, and we can't afford to go buy games if we don't know that we're going to like them.
So no, we really can't afford to do that.
You put the demo on Xbox Live. I love it. Tastes just like fried chicken.
And from what I've seen,
everyone likes fried chicken, TG, including your beard.
My beard does enjoy fried chicken, but anyways, there's only one playable
fried
mission.
Fried chicken.
Yes. There's only one playable mission in the actual demo, but it's a pretty interesting mission. It's a new concept that's sandbox style, unlike the other ones. It's sandbox style, you kind of just go and do whatever you want.
Fully you can blow shit up. That's basically what you're doing. You're blowing shit up, and you're hitting shit with hammers. Tell them about the hammers, CJ. I know you like that.
Your main weapon is basically just a gigantic sledgehammer, and you can crush people's bones, and there's just a satisfying crunching noise as their bones are ground into dust and blood splatters everywhere.
Tell them about the part where you knew where he was behind the wall. Just tell them about that. I want them to feel how epic this hammer is. I want them to know.
Play the demo. There is a dude hiding behind this wall, and I just did the smashdown move with the hammer and crushed the wall along with the man behind it, much to my satisfaction and to his agony.
There was wall crunching along with bone crunching in the same audio file, and it made me jizz in my pants, per se. Okay, I just blew a load right there and then, because the audio was awesome, the physics was awesome, the wall tearing apart was awesome, and the dude's skull getting crushed by a hammer through the wall was insane! It was awesome!
It was pretty awesome, and you could drive a bunch of vehicles, and the thing is, we played the demo through several times, and the vehicles change every single time you play it.
You can even get military vehicles in the demo. You just have to wait for them to come. You have to destroy enough shit for those vehicles to be like, hey, we're going to pwn you guys right now, and then they come.
Yeah, they do come, and then you end up destroying them with the walker later and just flipping them over.
The walker is sweet. Let me tell you what, guys. This destruction in this game is so realistic. You throw four little mine thingies at the support beams are gone, the building collapses. It's
or you
sweet.
Can just wail away at the support beams with a hammer and do what I did and knock it down on myself and be crushed.
And then you die.
But it was still kind of cool. The physics are really very cool. realistic, and we enjoyed it. Moving on to our next piece of news, Assassin's Creed 2 was officially announced just a couple weeks back. And this one is going to change a little bit. It's going to be taking place in Italy during the Italian Renaissance, which was like early 1400s is when
pizza
that started.
Pie, meets a ball up. Sorry. Yeah.
Bad Italian accent.
You got the Renaissance going on. So these people are, like, innovating all this new stuff, and there's stars.
Yeah, so you got several
different
weapons.
The world isn't flat anymore, and...
No, the world isn't flat anymore.
You got armor, and you got cool swords, and flintlock pistols, and...
No.
No. No flintlocks.
No guns yet. Not yet. Those come a little bit later. Like, 15.
Handheld crossbows. You got...
Yes, they do have crossbows.
And there's a new car! No, okay. go ahead, TG.
But anyways, the main character you're going to be playing as in this game is going to be a guy named Ezio, who is also one of Desmond Miles' ancestors, who is also an assassin. Turns out they weren't wiped out after the events of Assassin's Creed 1. And this game is going to be much similar to the first, but they're going to have some interesting side characters in this. From what we know, they're actually going to have Leonardo da Vinci as one of the side characters who will be, like, helping you in your mission.
He's actually starred in many video games. Like, if you've ever played Lionheart for PC, which I know not a lot of you have, but if you have, oh my freaking god, he was in there and he was, like, one of the main characters. And here he is appearing again, and in World of Warcraft there's several references to Leonardo da Vinci, so...
There's references to a lot of things in World of Warcraft.
Exactly.
But... You're
we could make a segment on that, almost.
We could almost make a segment on that.
That's besides the point. Let's go.
We can think about that later, but anyways.
Okay, go.
Apparently, from what we've seen from some screenshots, is that Da Vinci's actually going to let you use his flying machine, which I don't think he ever actually built, but there were designs for it in his notebooks. He had a design for a flying machine, and it's actually going to be like a new way for you to
his
get around.
His problem was he masturbated too much. You know that, right?
No.
That he never got around to building it.
I think it's because he had too many things he wanted to do. He just couldn't get around to it.
Well, the hobbies are like masturbating, so he basically masturbated too much and didn't have time to build it. I'm telling you, that's what it was.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Keep going. That's debatable.
Well, there's
going
to be some new weapons, like, from what we know, and there's also going to be new ways to kill people. For instance, one of the settings that you're going to be playing in is Venice, Italy. Mm. And you can actually swim now, and you won't die just from hitting the water. That's not going to happen
anymore. Thank God, because, you know, it surprises me an assassin can't swim. That's so many different games. A dragon. It's the beginning of gaming. Real gaming. In the PlayStation platform. Playing the dragon. Spyro the Dragon. Oh, I love that game when I was little. You playing Spyro the Dragon? You couldn't swim. How can't you swim? You're a dragon. Come on. Come on. Add it on to a later game, but still, come on, let's get our characters
But they're
to
getting
swim.
It into this game, and you're actually going to be able to use it as a way to assassinate people, you know, like hide in the canals, guard walks by, drag him under, snap his neck, or just drown him.
Well, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
In Call of Duty 5, you can't lay down in a puddle.
Yeah, it's true. It's actually pretty interesting. This game looks very good, but it's going to be
gonna
released...
have good graphics like it used to, which means it'll crash my Xbox, so my Xbox sucks.
His Xbox does not like him very much. But this game is going to be releasing for the PS3, Xbox 360, and the PC sometime around Christmas time of this year. So in that fourth quarter of the year, towards the end. But in our next piece of news, X-Men Origins Wolverine just released yesterday. I saw the movie. It was awesome.
He went without me.
I hope the game
I'm
is
depressed.
Awesome. I'm sorry.
Okay, go on about the game.
But basically, it's a game based on a movie. We've seen all this kind of stuff before. But the movie was good. I'm hoping that maybe for those of you that get the game, maybe you can send us an email or something letting us know if the game was as good as the movie.
Why don't you send us emails? We want to know. I want emails.
We would but like your we
you
would
want
like
me,
your input.
Do you want me to change it to Google? I mean, do you want me to do a Twitter? Do you just not like MSN? Do you feel like MSN is stealing my soul? Because if you do, just tell us. Just leave a comment on the page. I mean, I would love comments.
We would love your comments.
I would masturbate to comments. I'm kidding, but maybe. That's a possibility. I'm so not seeing comments that I might just do something. but we don't know much about X-Men Origins. We know it's about... It's off of the movie, which... Did they come out simultaneously?
Yeah, they actually did come
that
out, like,
on the
same
day. That
does
not happen often,
no,
guys.
It doesn't.
That's something that's kind of neat. But moving on from that, we have this cool little segment that, I don't know, a lot of people haven't even heard about this yet, but there's a Fallout 3 expansion coming out, and it's called Broken Steel Expansion. It expands the main storyline past the Project Purity incident.
Well, that really, I really like that, because I kind of was disappointed with, spoiler alert, if you don't want to listen to me talking about how
fast
I dislike the game.
Fast forward 10 seconds.
Yeah, fast forward, like, maybe like a minute, so I can just rant here, or cover your ears, and just go, la 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 la.
Do something.
But anyways, it kind of disappointed me how the game ended, because either you be the good guy and sacrifice yourself and die, or you be the bad guy and have that chick go in there for you, and she dies, and then it's just, that's it, pretty much, and it's,
yeah,
kind of disappointed me with the ending. I mean, yeah, if you do the good guy ending, it's all, yay, you saved the wastes.
But you're dead.
But you're dead, and that kind of disappointed me.
That kind of disappoints everyone, because I hate it when they do this, when open games, you should not end the game after you beat the main storyline. I just don't feel like you should do that, and especially in a game like Fallout.
Yeah, they didn't do it in Oblivion. I mean, come on, Bethesda, but at least they're fixing it now with this new expansion. You get to play past the events of the main storyline. It's going to add, like, on another 5 hours of gameplay with a new, like, storyline. It's going to raise your level cap from 20 to 30, which is kind of nice, because that means you can get new perks.
And new achievements for all you achievement whores out there. And in fact, I'm going to add a segment about achievement whores. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. Maybe I'll call it achievement whores. But I'm telling you this right now, TG, because I haven't discussed it with him yet, which makes him pretty disappointed. Look at his sad face. His beard is sad also. But I'm adding an achievement segment for you guys, and it's going to be like how to get some quick achievements here and there on different games every week.
Probably just going to be like a little 5-minute thing that Colton does.
Yes.
I might throw in some stuff in there once in a while. But anyways,
yes.
This expansion is going to be releasing in just a couple days now.
May 5th.
May 5th.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, this coming Tuesday. So look for that. It'll probably be on your Xbox Live Marketplace for, I don't know, probably for more points than you want to spend.
Like $40 worth of points? Those things are expensive.
Yeah, expansion packs are expensive. I agree. But this one looks like it'd be well worth it, especially if you'd like to play past the main storyline of Fallout 3. So that's that. Now we're going to move on to our prototype preview.
Prototype preview. This game is developed by Radical Entertainment and published by Sierra Entertainment and Sega. It is a sci-fi thriller.
Much like the games in our last episode were.
We are sci-fi addicts.
Like we do like the sci-fi fantasy things.
Moving on from the addicts of being sci-fi, it is a sandbox-style action game. And it's based in New York City, am I right?
Yes, it is going to be taking place in New York City, sandbox-style action game. I like sandbox-style personally, because then I can just run around and do whatever I want. I don't even have to pay attention to the story if I want to.
It reminds me of the Grand Theft Autos.
Yes, kind of. Only, I don't like Grand Theft Auto, so let's not go down that particular train of thought.
I do, because you get to chop off people with a samurai sword. And if you don't have that cheat, get it and chop off someone's head, because it's very entertaining. They walk around a little bit, and they're dead. Okay, TG, you want to take on the bulk of this, just blurb?
Okay, basically the main storyline, you're going to be controlling a guy named Alex Mercer. You're going to wake up on this operating table, there's going to be guys with surgical instruments over, and you're just going to freak out. I'm pretty sure you kill them. But basically, when you wake up and after you, like, take out those dudes hovering over you with the needles and scary objects, you're going to realize that you don't have any memory at all. And that you can, like, you have mastery over your genetic code. You can change your biomass to just do this awesome stuff. But you're going to start searching for a past that you can't remember anymore. And along the way, you're going to run into this struggle that's going to be taking place in New York City that's going to first kind of start under the media radar, then it's going to escalate into like this just national security crisis. But basically, there's going to be this growing number of infected, quote-unquote. They have some disease. It kind of looked to me like almost I Am Legend type stuff. But you're going to be confronted with those infected, and then opposing them is going to be the U.S. Army and a spec ops group named Blackwatch. And Blackwatch has basically been charged to contain this infection at any cost, even if it means just, like, nuking New York City, like, right off the map. And they are also quite eager to capture you, Alex Mercer, dead or alive. Doesn't really matter to them. That kind of seems to be how those types of guys work. But an interesting part of this game is you can actually, like, choose sides, which they seem to be incorporating into games a lot more nowadays. I personally kind of like that. gives it some more depth, and then it gives it replay value, so you can actually try the other side when you if you want to play it again, see how that works out.
Definitely. That's always cool, and you can choose which side you get. You get little perks and stuff from every different side, usually, too. Just, if you don't get attacked by that guy, or you don't get attacked by that dude because you're on that side, then that's always a perk anyway. So no matter what, you're going to have somewhere to perk where you're not getting attacked by someone.
Oh, yeah. But basically, the question for you is, are you going to assist Blackwatch in its efforts to contain the infection? Or on the flip side, do you join the infected and then subjugate all of humanity?
You help those zombies out. You say, hey, yo, I'm your bro. I know some biomass techniques, and I'm going to help you out with it. And along with that comes the cool powers.
Which we're going to talk about. That mastery over the biomass I mentioned. It's going to give you some interesting powers, including just the normal stuff you see in, like, superheroes.
Speedy!
Yes, speed, strength, agility. You have some pretty neat sensory powers, like heat vision. Not like heat vision, heat sensing vision. My bad, that was a bad... Not Superman powers, none of those. Yeah, but he also has this interesting power unique to him where he can consume others' DNA. He can grab them, I don't know what he does, but he like just inserts like claws into them and just sucks out their DNA and he copies it. Makes his DNA identical to them.
Signs, where that alien checks out that little thing. I bet that's what he does, and he just through his wrist.
Like scans them.
Yeah.
Just like with a little, he's got a little scanner in his hand, beep. And then he just, like...
Got your DNA, dude.
Yeah.
Probably turns his hand.
I'm pretty sure it actually kills that person in the process.
Oh, yeah. They die.
Oh, yeah. They die. They
painful,
turn into,
like, probably.
A
skeleton. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, it's going to make you look exactly like them, and you're going to have all their memories, so it kind of adds a kind of stealth aspect to the game if you'd like to play it like that instead of just running around like the Hulk and just destroying everything.
Which I would probably do that because I like to destroy stuff.
I do like to destroy stuff also.
Well, I actually play more stuff.
Alex can transform himself into many different array of weapons, and among those, you can check out the full list of weapons on the website, but some of the ones that we know about are the hammer fist.
The whip? I like the whip.
Yeah, the whip blades. Claws, just like huge, just Wolverine-like, just frickin' rip people to shreds claws.
A shield, which is really neat. You actually pull it, like, from your spine, and then it goes all, like, covers, like, over two-thirds of your body if you do it, like, when he does it. It goes to your spine, and then your arm pulls it around all the way to your other shoulder.
Yeah, it protects you from whatever nasty things are shooting at you. And there are a bunch of other powers, but like we said, you can look those up on the official prototype website. And also one interesting thing, he has this form called Armor Form, which basically just turns him into the... If you remember that creature from the New Hulk, the one that the army guy turned into that was just like all like rigid and stuff like that, you're going to turn into something like that dude.
Too much steroids.
Exactly, and you're going to be bulletproof, and it's going to be awesome. Just Hulk out on things, smash cars... And then Alex is also, along with that agility, comes this parkour thing, which is the kind of type of thing you see in Prince of Persia and Assassin's Creed, which I really enjoy, being able to jump off the walls and
definitely.
All that stuff. Well, he's going to be able to do it with more speed and just climb up whole buildings, just freaking, like, I don't really know. Yeah, like Spider-Man, only quicker than Spider-Man.
And he doesn't have any webs, which is too bad, because Spider-Man's webs are fun.
I do like Spider-Man, I have to say.
Yes.
But this game will be coming out for the 360, PS3, and the PC on June 9th. Actually, just next month is coming up. We're looking forward to this game. We're hoping you're looking forward to it also. So that's our prototype preview.
Yeah, and if this game comes out on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday, I'm going to be calling into my boss and be like, I don't feel good, Mr. Boss. And she'll
Isn't
be
it
like,
Mrs. Boss?
Yeah, there's Mrs. Boss. And she'll be like, you're such a nerd, Colton. Get your ass into work. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, Diane. I'm coming. And then, yeah. So I won't actually get to play it, but I will try to get out of work to play this game if it's on any of those days, just because I'm looking forward to it that much.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was looking forward to it, too. I actually was looking at this game, like, back in October. Because wasn't it originally slated to release in November?
Oh, yeah. They pushed
this
it back.
Past year?
Because I'm almost positive when Blizzard and Activision teamed up, so something happened to the project and put it in pause. I don't think it had anything to do with them, because it wouldn't really, but something around that time did something, and it put this project on pause. It was paused right around Christmas when they teamed up. That's all I remember, is that I read about it simultaneously. It was on the same page in one of my gaming magazines, and it said that this has been put on pause, and Blizzard and Activision teamed up, so something happened. That's all that
And
they
now
said.
It's not releasing till June 9th, which kind of disappointed me, but I'm glad it's actually coming out. Hopefully they don't delay this project any further.
Well, you know, and another thing is, when they delay stuff, it's usually going to be a better quality, because they'll have more,
Oh, yeah, you hope it's going to be better quality, and then you're really pissed off if it's not.
Yeah, because then that's just stupid. It's like, don't hold it back if it's not going to be better. Just don't. It's not even funny. It doesn't
it really
make people
isn't.
Happy, it just makes people angry.
It does make people angry. But, you know what's going to make you really angry? The Pedisedate, which we're going to talk about in my tech segment.
It is the distant future, the year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes.
TG's Tech.
All right, what do you got, TG?
Well, basically, I was just doing my research like I usually do. I was going on, I think it was...
Nerd
CNET.
Alert. No, I'm just kidding. Go
yeah.
ahead.
Nerd Alert. That's me. But I was looking through a bunch of different technologies that just were announced, like, recently, and I stumbled across this thing. To me, it looked like some kind of fancy headset with, like, a little nose covery thing, and it was called the Pedisedate, and I'm just like, what is this? So I click on it, and I read about it, and it seems really evil. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being sarcastic here, but you'll find that out later. But anyways, what this thing is meant to do is it's meant to sedate little children. Basically, it's for, like, dental procedures and other medical surgeries. It's supposed to make them faster and easier by sedating the children. But this thing, this evil head device, is connected to a Game Boy or a CD player and then placed on the child's head. And then while the game or the music is distracting this poor small child, they're going to lower this nozzle down over their nose, which is going to start pumping nitrous oxide into their nostrils,
very
which will eventually sedate them. And, yeah, then they do the surgery. But this thing has actually got some pretty neat features on it, because it also monitors respiratory function. It's got this little thing on it where they actually hook it up to, like, a computer, and they can monitor all the child's, like, vitals. And it's painless sedation, so there's no needles involved, which is a plus for me, because I hate needles.
Oh, we all hate needles.
Oh, yes. And the onset and recovery times are very rapid, as opposed to other means. And it may actually reduce the cost of the healthcare system, which would be kind of nice, because that means less taxes for you, I suppose.
For all of us, and for us poor people who can only afford Xboxes, yeah. And have to watch our friend play his PS3 games when we do reviews on them, it's actually pretty nice.
But anyways, this device was invented by a guy named Dr. Hart, and he actually received several grants, which ended up totaling $1.8 billion to develop this thing for actual, like, use as a product. So keep an eye out for one in your hospital or local dentist's office soon. And that's all we've got for that, and now we're moving on to Fiddle's Faves. Take it away, Colton!
Monster Kill!
Alright, Fiddle Faves this week is Prince of Persia, Warrior Within. Do not forget that name. It is a very, 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 times 100, very, very good game. And it was basically, off of the second Prince of Persia, or the first Prince of Persia, it is the second Prince of Persia, and then after that Prince of Persia, this is all a great storyline, it leads into each other. The second one, which is Warrior Within, leads into Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones. These are all very good games. Prince of Persia, Warrior Within was not nearly as announced as some of the other games that are out there for Prince of Persia. So it didn't get as many people playing it. Along with that, it was rated mature. There's a lot of blood and gore, but it's really, really good. It was developed and published by Ubisoft, which
and
is
Ubisoft
cool.
Always makes good games, in my opinion, because they're the guys who made Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell. They make good games. They're very high quality, and I enjoy Ubisoft's games, so I look forward to it when they come out with new
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. I'm not sure if that's actually how I pronounce it. You might call it Ubisoft or Ubisoft.
I call it
Either way,
it doesn't really matter.
Tomato, tomato, you know,
exactly.
Whatever.
This game released for PS2, GameCube, Xbox, PC on December 2, 2004. So that's when it came out. It's a pretty old game, but it's always been good. It's kind of hard to get your hands on a copy on it. My suggestion would be to go to Amazon.com and look for it online, because there's always copies of games up on there.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be able to find it for any system. So just look for it. You'll be able to find one. It picks up 7 years after the Sands of Time, which is the first one. The prince is being haunted by the Dahaka, which is a guardian of time, and basically he's chasing you because you escaped your fate, and
yeah,
you were supposed to die.
Yeah, the prince was supposed to actually die in the first game, because I think that's actually what it said, like, whoever shall release his sands must die. Yeah. And somehow he avoided that. So now this Dahaka is sent to correct that mistake and basically marginalize you and correct this blip in the time
continuum.
Yes.
At the beginning of the game, he is being chased by the Dahaka in a cinematic, and then shortly after that there's another cinematic, and you are talking to a wise old man, which is actually in the third game also. He's kind of the king's consort. Really, whenever the prince has problems, he's there to support him, and I'm almost positive that he had some high position for the prince's father, which isn't dead in all of the games, basically. He learns of the existence of the Island of Time, and this is the place where the sands were actually created, and the prince then sails to the Island of Time in order to prevent the sands from ever being created, and hope that the Dahaka won't exist either, thus avoiding his dark fate of death, which,
With the Dahaka on your tail, which doesn't sleep or eat or anything like that, is probably a good thing.
Yes, and he gets very, very, very annoying because he pops up in many different parts of the game. You can be running through killing the regular guards that are on the Island of Time, and the present day are past day, which the past day is actually shows the palace. You go through games in segments. So you're going to go through a certain segment of the game in the past, and then you're going to go through that same segment in the present. And the present is crumbled and horrible looking, and the past is glorious and beautiful looking. So you get...
That's kind of the thing that made this game confusing, is that you're constantly, like, traveling back and forth between the present and past.
Yes, and there's...
So it kind of gave... The space-time continuum whole thing kind of made the game a little confusing, but it also made it a lot more interesting.
Oh, it did.
So...
Because you see bosses... Like, there would be two different types of bosses for every segment, basically. You'd see a boss in its present form, and then you'd see a boss in its past form, and I thought that was neat. Excuse me, It has a much darker setting than the first game, and TG and I both believe that that might have had to do with something of the reason why people didn't like the game before, or game.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of criticized this because they were really fond of, like, you know, the funny, witty, easygoing prince.
Yeah, he was a very charming prince. He was
That's the
spoiled.
Kind of prince you saw in the first game. He was a little bit spoiled, but he was also very witty, easygoing, pretty easy to get along with if you get past his ego. But now, this is 7 years later, and he's been hounded by this Dahaka the whole time.
And he's a man that has a 5 o'clock shadow, long hair, and is very on edge. Always has his hands on his hilts of his weapons, just ready to go.
He's been made very cynical by being chased.
But I would be too.
For 7 years, I can't say I'd blame him.
The Dahaka is a very scary looking creature, and in fact, since this came out in 2004, I was younger, and I did not like running from the Dahaka. It freaked me out. I would get an adrenaline rush, my controller would get sweaty from my sweat, and my hands would slip, and it would just be bad.
It would be bad, because there would be times in the game I thought I got away from that thing. I was like crawling along a wall once, and I was just like, whew. I think I got away, because the music stopped, and all of a sudden it was just like, blah, 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 and then he just like broke down a wall like right in front of me and just sucked me into his body with his shadow tentacles, and I was dead, and I was like, crap.
And there's certain parts of the game where the only way to avoid him is to get to one of the time-shifting platforms and shift into a different time, and it's just freaky waiting for you, because you have to do a combo. You have to run up the wall and hit these buttons to activate this platform, and you have to be doing that, and the Dahaka was right on your tail. So, I mean, it's just scary, and I don't like it. I didn't like it.
I mean, the Dahaka definitely made the game a lot more interesting, just being constantly just like, oh, I'm fighting these guys, and oh, shit, there he is. Run away! Run away!
And then all of a sudden, you get a flashback about when you're 5, and you pissed your pants, and everything is much more warm and fuzzy. but moving on to the Dahaka is actually really neat, because you can finish the game in 2 ways, which is awesome. And it all has to do with which weapon you pick up first. You can go back and kill, what's her name?
Kailina, actually the Empress of Time.
Yeah, she's the Empress of Time. She tells you you can't escape your fate when you get onto the island. You start to pwn people. You get a new upgraded sword from your stick, because you start beating on people's sticks in the beginning game, which is very annoying. You can pick up weapons off your body, too, which is cool. You can throw weapons at people's face. It has over, like, I think it said it had 200,000 different combos to kill people. You have aerial attacks, jumping around, what is that called?
Acrobatic combos.
Acrobatic combos. And then you just have regular melee power attacks. And it's every single button that you push, is triangle, square, and circle for a combo attack and all that junk, will basically give you another way to kill your opponent. So you have those three buttons, times every move that they do, times all the classified combos, times running off of a wall, jumping, doing a backflip, times swinging around a pole, doing these combos, and it's just insane on how many different ways you can kill people. I've played through the game 3 times now, and I've never killed anyone every single different way, and there's different types of people to kill, so you have that to factor into it, and it's just a really neat game in that factor where there is a lot of different ways to kill people.
Little something me and Colton like to call evolving kills.
Yes.
Is what we call it, just because there's so many different ways you can do it, and it's different for each enemy, what kind of attacks you do. So it really makes the game a lot more interesting, and it's also kind of nice because, as opposed to the first game, you can use 2 weapons at the same time. And it doesn't matter, you can pick up an enemy's weapons just wherever you want to. Kill a dude, he drops his sword, oh, pick that up because it's better than this one I got over here on my right hand.
Yeah, you go to that with the same, that's the same thing with Prince of Persia's The Two Thrones, which is the third game. You can also do that, but in that game it doesn't matter. All the weapons have the same, they're basically the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have your dagger and you have your other weapons, which you only, and then in this game, like I said, there's these new weapons, and, like, you can upgrade your weapon. Like, the first thing that you get on the island for your main hand weapon, which that sounds wowish, and it kind of is wowish because that's just how I relate it, it's called, like, the Serpent Sword or something like that, and it says, like, it's a common weapon here. And at the end of the game, depending on if you pick up this different water sword, I believe it's called, and there's another sword that you can pick up, will determine how you end the game. Because you have to have, I believe, the water sword to open up the room of Sands of Time to go kill Kylina, which is the Empress of Time. And she is trying to kill you so that she doesn't die, because she's also trying to escape her fate. And you'll learn that, and you'll understand it better when you actually play the game. On top of that, you can not pick up the water sword, go back in time, pick it up there, and then bring it back into the future, and then you can fight the Dahaka, which I did not do that fight. Any of the times I played through the game, I always killed Kylina because I knew how to do that fight, and I enjoyed the fight. It's very, very difficult. From what I hear from TG, who actually defeated the Dahaka, it's quite a simple fight for the Dahaka.
Yeah, it's just after you're being chased by this just scary beast the whole game, fighting the Dahaka was actually kind of a disappointment, because he actually turned out to be kind of a pushover in a stand-up fight when you actually, got through the sack to actually just, face him one-on-one. He actually wasn't a whole much of a challenge compared to the Empress, who Colton tells me is extremely difficult to beat. I think you actually said it. How long did you play, like, that boss fight the first time to beat her?
It's a very long boss fight, so about every session that I played, if I'd get her down to, like, half health or somewhere close to dying, it would take me about, like, half an hour to 45 minutes, and then on top of that, I had to do it multiple times. I had to do it, like, 5 or 6 times my first try. It's just very hard. You have to keep finding the sands to do combo attacks with your sands. That's about the only way that you can kill her, is to have that sand. So you have to run around the room while she's slowed down. Like, you have to slow down time, run around the room, and try to find sand again to fill up your slots. It's really, really annoying. It's very hard. And you have to be very innovative with your combos, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's only certain times you can attack her. She's very vicious, and she does a lot of lashbacks at you. She has 2 swords that will rape you.
Oh, yes. They will bone you hard.
Very hard.
But what's kind of interesting is the Two Thrones picks up after the ending of you defeating the Dahaka, as opposed to defeating the Kylina, the Empress of Time. Kylina actually comes with you back to Babylon because you apparently fell in love with her in some weird, very strange way. Which doesn't really matter. If you've ever played the third game, you know what I'm talking about, because she's not around very long anyway.
There's also some references that don't make sense in that, too. If you don't kill Kylina, which I watched the cinematic for it, the Dahaka walks up to you before you deplete him, and he takes out something from your chest. It's like a gold coin.
Yeah, that's the amulet you've been using to rewind
exactly.
The fast-forward time.
Now, when you go into the cinematic, either way, that thing disappears from you. And when you beat Kylina and when you don't beat Kylina, that is gone. The Dahaka takes it no matter what. And then when you go into the third game, you're on a ship, and Kylina's with you, of course, saying that you killed the Dahaka and you did not kill Kylina and you're in love with her. And you're going back to your home to protect Kylina and join your father, which shouldn't be dead, quote, because you have depleted the signs. They don't exist now.
Yeah, you prevented the Sands of Time from ever being created, so technically they shouldn't exist, right? But for those of you that played the third game, you know that kind of didn't work out. Because by getting rid of the Sands of Time, that messed up the space space-time continuum, technically the events of the first game never happened. And guess what? That means that evil Vizier that you had to kill in the first game, oh, he's back. And he's still evil as ever.
Going back to what I was saying, in the cinematic for the very beginning of the game, you have that amulet on your chest. And right before you start getting attacked, which might be a spoiler if you haven't played the third game, which I suggest you do because it's good, along with playing Warrior Within and the first one, they're a really good series, you have the amulet in your hand and you throw it into the water. Which doesn't make any sense because it's supposed to be gone contributing to what happened in the last game.
I couldn't say why that would happen. It must just have been a little mistake by the developers. Nothing major. I mean, either way, it's gone. So, and you get the dagger back in the first game, and that's what you use to rewind time.
Yes. Daggers.
Which also kind of confused me, because if the Sands of Time were never created, why is there a Dagger of Time still?
Well, there was a Sands in that game, though, too, though.
Well, that's because, spoiler alert, the Vizier is going to kill Kailina, which is what creates the Sands of Time, so they end up being created anyway.
Yes.
And then when he leaves after just absorbing the sands into him, just becoming like this demigod, then you just take the dagger, and that's
but
how you get
it
back.
It doesn't ever. The Island of Time is going to exist no matter what, even if there is sands and even if there isn't sands.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where they found the dagger. It tells you that in the third game.
Does it?
Yeah. It's in the room right before you go and Kailina dies, and the Vizier is talking about how he made a voyage to an island. There was beasts there, and there
damn
was...
that Vizier! Why couldn't he just stay dead?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because
the
first game never happened after you mess up the timeline in the second game, so he's not dead anymore. Dang him!
But all in all, this game, it was really, really good. I loved playing it. It was hard for me to find a copy at first. I didn't have a credit card or anything, so I couldn't buy it on Amazon, which I suggest you do.
I bought it right away when it came out. I actually got it for Christmas, so I didn't have to worry about that a whole lot.
It's rated mature, so if you have any restrictions on that due to parents, or if you are a parent and you're thinking about buying for it, one of your children, it's not that bad. There's no swearing or anything. It's just some blood when you kill people. That's about it.
A lot of blood,
yeah.
You can cut off their heads.
Yeah.
So if you don't want your child seeing a bunch of gore and just chopping enemies in half, probably not a good game for you to get.
But it's not like your innards are falling out or anything. It's just some blood spurts and their head pops off. That's
yeah, they're made of the sands.
Yeah, they're made of the sands. And later in the game, when you're in... I can't remember. It depends on what time period you are, if there is any blood at all. And I think you can turn off the blood. I'm not sure.
I don't know if you can or not. It's not something I ever looked into because that makes it less interesting for me.
And if you don't want to listen to rock and roll music, don't have them play the game either. Because the background music in this game is all, like, Egyptian rock. Which is really weird, but it's really awesome because it adds to it.
I actually have Godsmack on the official soundtrack. Godsmack, I Stand Alone, and Straight Outta Line.
Straight Outta Line.
Two excellent songs, by the way. I do like Godsmack.
They do work really well in the game. Another thing with the game is that if you did play the third one and you haven't played Warrior Within, because I know a lot of people that have done it that way, where they just never got Warrior Within because they didn't know it existed even, there's this cool thing where you actually get to pretty much preview the power of what you get in Prince of Persia Two Thrones. It basically, people didn't know about this because it didn't come out yet, but you get this mask that you put on your face, and there's multiple masks inside of the game. You can pick up multiple masks, and these masks have powers, and the first one you pick up, you pretty much turn into the dude that you are when you are,
basically, throughout the game, you're gonna just see this random, like, dude made out of the sands of time, and he's gonna be freaking out. You think he's there to kill you like the Dahaka is.
He's not.
But then later, it turns out...
You're actually him in a different time.
Yeah, you're actually...
He saved your ass.
Yeah,
multiple times.
It's really weird, because you're him on the same timeline, but
you watch yourself die.
You do actually watch yourself die, spoiler alert. You know, I'm just... But we highly recommend this game. It was excellent. Little older, but the graphics are still fairly good for their time.
Oh, definitely.
It's definitely worth your money, especially now since it's probably like $10 or even less than that, depending on where you get it. So we recommend going out, getting this game, play it, because it's amazing. And then move on to play, you know, Sands of Time and Two Thrones. But we recommend you play them in order so the story actually makes sense.
And for the game playability also, because I found that I played Two Thrones, and then I went to Warrior Within, and then I went to the first Prince of Persia. And I can't play the first Prince of Persia just because it's so much different. It wasn't as playable, in my opinion, as the two last ones are. The two last ones are really grippers, and you just don't want to put them down once you get them in.
Personally, I really liked Prince of Persia Sands of Time, but then again, I also played that one first, so
that
makes sense. But anyways, we're moving on to our last segment here, and we got our review for Velvet Assassin.
Alright, TG, do you want to start on Velvet Assassin for us?
Alright. Now, this is a little different. It's a historical first-person shooter, and I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, World War II shooter, it's like Medal of Honor! But
it wasn't first-person, was it? It was third-person.
Yeah, that's right, it was third-person.
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 A little correction there.
Third-person shooter, my bad. I wrote that down wrong in our little script here. Third-person shooter, over-the-shoulder type thing. But
it's based a lot on the sneaky combat.
Yes, it's stealth action, kind of like Splinter Cell is kind of what it reminded me of, because you don't have a whole lot of health. You basically have to sneak up on the Nazis and stab them.
Well, you get shot a couple times by their weapons, and you will die. It doesn't
we played, and the one Nazi had a freaking like high-powered rifle, I think is what it was, and he just owned us with one shot because he saw us, and it was bad. But what's interesting about this game is actually inspired by the true story of a woman named Violet Sosbo, I think is how you pronounce the name. Pardon me for my bad pronunciation on the name. It's S-Z-A-B-O. But this is actually, it's actually based on a real person. And it's actually a chick. You're playing as a woman. But in the game, the character's name is also Violet, but her last name is going to be Summer. And she is a spy during World War II. And basically, when you first start the game, there's an opening cinematic. You find that Violet is very sick. She's having, like, she's got a really high fever. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Well, her hand's glistening with sweat. Her whole body is.
Yeah,
she's lying in bed.
She's got
a bullet wound in her leg.
Yeah, she's very sick. She's probably dying. Basically, the whole game, you're playing through her fever dreams, memories. She's recalling the war as she's, like, in a coma, basically. And you're playing through her memories. And it's kind of interesting. I like history, but, yeah. I think it's also kind of interesting you're playing as a woman. You don't see that a lot in games like this, like shooters.
Yeah,
not a whole very often. Especially not World War II shooters. You don't normally think of women being in World War II, but there actually were women spies during World War II.
Well, makes sense. They're pretty agile, small creatures, so... No offense to any women, or if they're listening to the show, I mean it in the best way possible. I'm actually a very
small
guy myself,
distinction.
So. Yeah.
A lot of the spies did. But then again, in the Russian front, the Russians actually incorporated women into their actual army who would actually fight. A lot of women would actually distinguish themselves as snipers in the Red Army, so that's kind of interesting. But that's you can actually look that up for yourself. We're not going to be talking about that in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But you have 50 different kill moves. You sneak up on them, you like stab them with this huge Bowie knife you have, and you like rip their throat out, or you can like snap their neck. It's kind of interesting. Cool, and like we said, it's stealth-oriented, so a lot of the game is sneak around. It's like Splinter Cell, only more old school.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's also this thing called morphine mode. You find, like, just vials of, or needles of morphine just in random places along with medical kits and that type of thing.
You inject it into your leg, and it
makes
you...
Basically, it's like the Prince of Persia, like,
slow down time
thing. Gives you time to just, like, slow down, like, if you've got an enemy shooting at you because he saw you, he can inject this into you, and you'll slow down time, and you can go behind him, like, stab him in the back, or... go up and just cut his throat out or something like that.
There's certain points in the game where you're going to find that you die somewhere and you're going to need your morphine just because it's a really hard stealth aspect. The stealth aspect is really, really oriented into the game, whereas, in fact, you can find a fuse box and take out the fuse so there's no light shining on you so you can sneak while in the shadows.
Very, very, very oriented on based on light and darkness, because if you're in the light, the Nazis are going to see you. If you stay in the darkness, they won't, like we said. It's like Splinter Cell. Light, bad. Darkness, good.
Good.
We know that's a little bit of the opposite of what you'd normally think, but in this case, it is good.
It's not.
Because you don't want to get shot by a car 98. It hurts.
A lot. On top of that, it's very slow-paced because it is a stealth-oriented game, and that's not entirely bad, but for some people, they might get bored right away just because the kills are kind of repetitive when you're in stealth mode, and it is slow-moving. You do get what... We've seen a pistol in the game that we got. It was silenced. It was kind of neat. You could pop people in the head. You only had 7 bullets. But
personally, I do like the knife.
Yeah,
Ammo was limited, but then again, you're supposed to be an assassin, and you probably...
Don't need that much.
When you're probably not even supposed to kill people if you don't have to. But then you got the body dragging and all that kind of stuff, because if they find it, ooh, we set off alarms.
Yeah, you don't want to have the body around. So they allow you to draw bodies. You can pick stuff up off-bodies, you actually can get certain items where you can upgrade, like, your own skills and stuff. And
you can find these things called collectibles on, like, dead Nazis' bodies,
a
or
lighter,
just, like, randomly...
cigar box, stuff like that. They're all over the place.
Or you can just find them just, like, laying around the environment.
Yep.
And they give you experience points, and then every 1,000 experience points, which I think is, like, 10 items... Then you
well, it depends
can buy...
on the items. Some items have more XP than others.
Oh, yeah. Every 1,000 XP points, you get to buy a new upgrade, either in, like, stealth combat,
morphing combat, or strength.
There you go. There's, like, three different things you can
There's
equip
five
into.
Stars in every different thing.
Yep, five stars. That adds a bit of a kind of, like, a role-playing thing to it, because you can choose how you want to play the game by upgrading certain things more than the other.
It reminds me of Dead Space, where you can... find the power nodes and choose what you want to upgrade, and that's basically what it is. So it's kind of cool that way. It lets you do your own thing on how you want to play. So you could be more of a strengthy type person that just runs up there and jinx them.
But the graphics in this game, they're good, but they're nothing really to rave about, so we're not going to talk about them a whole lot.
Yeah.
They're good enough so we don't have to diss them, but they're also not good enough where we don't have to just exalt them like we did with Singularity.
And it's weird because they have Call of Duty 4 third-person shooter, or third-person graphics, and it's based on third-person. And when you go to Call of Duty 4 and you're third-person, when you're playing hardcore and you die or something like that, it basically looks like that. So it's
I mean,
it's
the face details
great.
Are a little more
A
like...
little more face details, a little bit more hair details. But there's not much difference, and that's kind of disappointing. But, I mean, they're good graphics.
They're good. Not great, but not horrible, so we can live with it.
Yeah.
But, and then the controls for the game, they're pretty basic, pretty easy to figure out. X is to use morphine, you walk up behind somebody and press A to do a stealth kill.
And that reminds me of Prince of Persia a lot, because there's a lot of stealth kills that you can do in Prince of Persia, but you hit Y, and then you have to do a combo.
Yeah, that's in Two Thrones, isn't it?
That's in Two Thrones and in Warrior Within.
That's right, it is.
I did it in both of them a lot, I love it. But I think they could have went more innovative with their stealth kills in this game, because you just walk up and push A. They can resist sometimes, and I think it's just random proc when they resist all the way and when they don't resist all the way. But, I mean, just throw in a couple other buttons you have to hit. It's not hard to
do.
I mean,
or you can do, like, combo kills, but they don't have anything like
that.
Controls are basic, which is nice in the fact that they're simplistic and easy to figure out. But it also kind of takes away from, you know, innovative gameplay, and it's
Definitely.
Kind of repetitive a little bit. And also, there's only 12 missions, which...
From what we saw...
No, there are only 12 missions. 12. 12 missions.
Which is few, because the first mission that we went through took us about 10 minutes, and it...
I know. Well, the first mission is, like, your tutorial. I'm not even sure we can call it a mission.
That's true.
Because there are only, like, three enemies, and all you're doing is getting into a bunker. But...
The achievements didn't look too difficult in the game also.
No, the achievements aren't very hard to get either, so...
If you want to get a quick achievement score for something, you know, 1,000, because that's about what every game has, basically, then go ahead and grab the game. It's pretty good.
It's okay.
TG, what'd you rate it?
I actually gave it 3 1-up mushrooms out of 5. I personally would not buy the game. I would maybe rent it, because I don't think it's worth dropping $60 for. And if you absolutely think you have to buy it, my opinion, wait till it drops in price, which, since I'm pretty sure it's not going to sell super great...
It's going to drop pretty fast, folks.
It's going to drop pretty fast, probably by next month or something. You could probably see it for, like, $30. And if you just wait a little bit longer, it'll probably be down to, like, 15, and then you can just get it cheap. So
cheap
how about your rating?
Dirt. I gave it about 3 1-up mushrooms, also out of 5 1-up mushrooms. And the reason I did that is just because it reminded me a lot of questing in Grizzly Hills.
Where you're questing to take a crap?
Yeah.
Really, not a really point to what you're doing, you don't think? Kind of just repetitive and just blah.
And it was so slow-paced. It would lose me. It would lose me so fast. I'm dysgraphic.
And he is very hyper.
I'm very hyper, energetic person, and I just like to Unreal Tournament 3 and Call of Duty 4 and shoot me in Red Faction 2 and Prince of Persia Warrior Ran, where you're just killing things so much and you're jumping around and just slicing people in half. That's what I do. I'm bored.
I mean, stealth games are good. I do enjoy stealth games, but... This one seems very simplistic. If you want to play a stealth game, I'd recommend go playing Splinter Cell.
If you want to play drunk, you can do that in this game. You're going to die a lot, but it's simple. You hit the A button while the screen turns red, you hit the A button. That's all you do.
You
can play it drunk.
It even tells you when to hit the A button.
It says it.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I only gave it 3, and also because of the fact that there's only 12 missions, which, while it may seem like, well, it's negative in the fact that there aren't very many missions to play, so it's probably not going to take you very long to beat this game. You could probably beat it in an afternoon if you
really
played it, you know, just hardcore. But then it also seems like the gameplay also moves very slow, so that 12 missions might actually almost be too much, especially since it's very repetitive gameplay. So once again, an average of 3 1-up mushrooms out of 5. Okay game, probably a renter, but if you absolutely have to have it, it's...
Wait till it goes down.
Yeah, we recommend waiting till it goes down.
I can
down
see
at
it
least.
Going down to 25, 30 bucks in less than a month. So, I mean...
I don't know about less than a month. Probably about a month, maybe a little more.
I don't know. There's some games out there that are pretty new, and they're already down there, just because it didn't sell as much, and I don't think this is going to sell squat.
Probably not a whole lot, no.
But that's basically what we have. This has been Little 45, Colton Peterson, and TG, Tyler Gasper. TG, what do you got to say?
My beard is hungry.
His beard is hungry. He has to go feed his beard.
I'm going
to
go do that right now.
And
hey, sun chips.
Sun chips. Oh, yeah. All right, see you guys later. This is Fiddle 45, Colton Peterson, signing off. 'Peterson here with TG, and we just wanted to let you know that...
Yeah, we want to hear from you, please. You didn't... I mean, it was mad props, because we already have 130 subscribers, which is probably more than we hoped for just posting one episode. So that's great. But we want to hear from you. I mean, you're our fans. We want to know what you think we could do to improve the show, what games we should put on the show, and all that kind of stuff. So please, leave us comments on our page, or send
email us. You can email us at fiddle-45@hotmail.com. That's fiddle-45@hotmail.com. We would love to read anything. If you have an idea for a segment to put at the end of the show, that even you, if you want to do it, if you want to be on the show, if you guys want to get involved, just throw me an email, throw me a comment on the page. I would be more than happy. I check it like every day, so just gotta drop in and say hi.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, so please leave your input, because we really want it bad. We're like hookers that way. But anyway...
We're also hookers for sponsors, so if you know anybody...
Yes, we are also hookers for sponsors, if there are any out there.
I will take off my shirt and let you smell my really ripped abs.
That's kind of creepy. But anyway, this is Game Digest, signing off.